Hey everybody, it's Michael, and this is a brand new episode of the Loftus Party Podcast. We got a fun one for you. Now this week's going to be a little different. Don't freak out. Everybody, remain calm. But here's what we're going to do. We got my buddy Pete Coriolis on the show. I sat down with Pete. We got caught up. Hilarious guy. Great dude. He's been on the show before. Super glad to have him back. So we always talk about news and pop culture and stuff like that. Here's how it's going to be this week. That's all going to be over on the Locals and Patreon portion of the show. So yeah, we're going to get into this crazy ass frickin' foreign aid bill, the $95 billion for Ukraine and everyone else. But you know what? We can't afford a border wall. That's a luxury we can't afford. We're going to talk to that. We're going to be talking student loans, Rebel Moon Part 2, because of all the unsolved answers in Part 1. We're going to be ripping that one. A new butthole, the Trump trial, some Uncle Bozy stuff, some Uncle Bozy. I'm flying around in World War II. I hope those animals are like you. I'm Uncle Bozy. Yes, there might be an Uncle Bozy song, but all of this is besides the point. The point is, my buddy Pete Coriolis on the show. You guys can listen, come over to Locals and Patreon after. We'll join up there and talk about all the news and all that fun stuff. But let's get to the Pete Coriolis segment. He's got his own podcast with Sebastian Maniscalco. It's incredibly popular. If you've ever seen him live, you need to. He's a very funny stand-up, a talented writer, and he's my buddy. And I'm so glad he's back. Ladies and gentlemen, the Loftus Party Podcast, we're very happy to have Pete Coriolis on the show. Let's go. We got my buddy Pete is on the show, Pete Coriolis. You've seen him all over the stage. We've written on a couple of shows together. The dude's on fire. He's a character.
Yeah.
He's the chosen one. The chosen one from the New York comedy
scene. Yeah, right.
What's up, who's the guy? It's great to be hanging out with you again, brother. It's been too long.
I swear
to God. When we wrote on TV shows together, okay, two separate ones over the course of 3 years, and it's like it's equivalent of being, and obviously not in the tragic way of a war, but spending that much time with someone from the moment we were awake to the moment we can't stay awake. We were in those rooms sitting side by side, man,
going, "What the fuck?"
Oh god! What a train wreck with that.
Do you remember? And I think about it, I think about it way more than I probably should. We wrote a thing where Leah Remini came in late for work because she had to stop at 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven. She broke a nail. It was so funny. He didn't have a Band-Aid or something. She slammed the nail on the door. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I know, man. We wrote some good shit.
Yes. Oh, it's those little unexpected road trips. Okay. So we can go down memory lane and all that great stuff. But I want the listeners to the Loftus Party to get caught up with you. What have you been doing? I know you're on the road.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean to direct the show, but can we just talk for a second about right before the show started, Loftus was telling me about his fridge and how his fridge was busting and he might have to get a new refrigerator. And at first he pulled it off the wall and was cleaning the coils behind it. And what I wanted to say to you, because I know, like, for example, you're in the Fox News world as far as going on there and stuff.
Yeah.
When you're in the moment where you're cleaning them coils, right? And you said, oh, my wife and I were talking about what to do. Should we get a new? You think, like, Gutfield, let alone Tom Shalhoub, is, like, ever cleaning coils on a fridge? Or do you think they're just zoned in, constantly zoned in on politics? Every minute you're cleaning the coil, you're missing out on a Ted Cruz tweet that everybody's talking about. You know what I mean?
You nailed it. Here's what happens when Gutfeld's
stainless steel, double wide, state-of-the-art touchscreen refrigerator stops working. He just goes, honey, call the guy. And just stops thinking about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's moved on. Shalou's down there with a Swiffer.
I hear you. It's a tough nut to crack, man.
It is. But you know what? It's weird. It's like, and this is no bullshit, but like, I like being handy. I like, I know way more about refrigerators today. And just so everybody knows, we were able to fix it. So instead of spending $3,000 on a new fridge, you know, I cleaned the coils. I, you know, messed with the starter and blah, 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 blah. And the compressor's good. And we're up and running. I don't want to jinx anything. But it's nice to know that, like, when shit goes sideways in your life, you at least have some kind of grasp of the situation, you know? Just yeah. Like, okay, I know where to start. And because, like, you don't want to be the guy that, like, starts messing with it, and then you finally call the handyman over, and he's just like, what the hell? Was there a squirrel in here? What happened?
yeah. Like, you made it even worse. I had a moment like that. I mean, these are the ones that are so frustrating. I live in Western New York, and I know you in Ohio, you know what I'm talking about with the snow, but got lucky this year. Not too bad, but I had to take my snowblower. The electric starter broke, so I brought it. I had to load it onto the back of this, like, trailer hitch I have. My father-in-law gave me this. It used to be an ammunition cart that they hooked to the back of Jeeps during World War II.
Oh, wow.
It's so cool. And he had it redone, and it's cool. And it hooks up to the back of my Subaru, and I can haul shit. So I haul my snowblower to the guy, and I get it to the guy, and he looks at it. I come back later, and he goes, listen, you can still start it manually. I could charge it for a whole new electric charge starter, but you don't even need one. You pull this thing, and it'll start, no problem. And I'm like, oh, I never even used that. I saw it. And he goes, yeah, so it's as good as new. Just use this. And I said, great. How much are you? He goes, nothing. So I tipped him $10. I said, thanks a lot. I wheel this thing back in the fucking army trailer. Yeah. I get halfway home. Bro, I'm cranking music. I'm not even lying, Lofty. I don't hear anything. I look in the stop sign, and I see a fucking pickup down the block behind me. I look in my rear view. My snowblower is on the ground. Out of a four-section stop sign, and this guy's trying to, he's looking at it because he's going to put it in his pickup because he don't know why there's a snowblower in the middle of the road. Now, I can't even turn around with this trailer because it's too hot. I can't figure it out, so I got to run down the block and tell the guy, it's my snowblower. he helps me get it back on my trailer. I bring it home. It'll start now, but now the drive gear works, so it won't go forward or back. So now I got to load it back on. I go back to the repairman, and he goes, I told you it's fine. He goes, I dropped the fucking thing on the way home. Now it's not fine. That's a whole day, bro. A whole day of your life. And life is so short and so valuable. And I just wasted a whole, I can't stand that shit. I do it all the time.
That's a self-inflicted wound, though. Yeah, that's like, you're so joyous. You're like, it happened to me. I'm driving around. I'm coming home from the beach two summers ago in Farmingdale and in my Subaru. And I get the low tire thing. And I'm like, crap. So I go to like a Just for Tires place. And the guy goes, dude, we're swamped. There's no way I can get to you. And I go, I think I just ran something over. He goes, well, if it's just a plug, he goes, hold on, pull your car around. And so the dude like grabs the tire off. And then, you know, sees it. Oh, yeah, I ran over a nail. So he pulls it out, puts in a plug, slaps it back on. He's like, he goes, he apologizes. He goes, sorry, I said we couldn't get to you. I am swamped. It's just a plug. No charge. And I'm like, wow. So, yeah, I gave him $20. I'm like, you saved my, but I didn't leave the tire there in the parking lot.
Man.
But here's I want the level of success where it's up to me, where it is my choice, right? Because like you know, like Gutfeld and his refrigerator, if he wants to be interested in that for a while, he can go, oh, let me see what I can do, and he can try to fix it until he's bored. or he decides this is a waste of my time. Like I didn't have a say in it. Like I have to fix this fridge. This has to happen. That's what I don't like.
I know, you know what? The difference is between Gutfield and where we're at right now temporarily. But remember, like, for example, when you're writing on a TV show, something happens with your fridge, you're on the phone with your wife, you got to say, well, just call the guy. I'm working, right?
Yes.
I'm bothered by the fact that I don't have an excuse not to fix my fridge right now. You know what I'm saying? that I'm bothered that I do have the time. Whereas, like, Gutfield, he don't have the time. He literally doesn't have the time. I mean, shit. But me and you right now, that's, So, I mean, and that's what bothers me. I'm like, I don't know, bro. Nothing bothers me, really. I'm just trying to make stuff bother me, but I'm all right.
That's one of the most honest things a comedian could ever say. It doesn't really bother me. I'm just trying to find stuff to make it bother me. That's hilarious.
Man, I come on here because we talk politics and I don't talk it anywhere else. What the fuck is going on out there, man?
It is, you know what? You always hear these people, and I used to hate it as a kid, you know, because my parents would be watching the news or something super grown up and boring. And always, every election, this is the most important election of our lifetime. This is the most important election of, but I'm telling you what, guy, this is the most important election of our lifetime. If Trump doesn't get in there, America has, there's no chance of it ever going back to normal. It's just, in my opinion, it's just it's a fast track to a hip, new, young version of socialism, and it's gonna be a train wreck.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, except the fact that even if we do get Trump back, it's just delaying all that because they're all just being raised that way. So I just need Trump and maybe one more Republican to do an 8-year run, and then I'll be dead or close to it.
Yeah, well, you hit the nail right on the head, dude. It's like, so yeah, you need Trump in there. You need a bunch of people on the right to actually do the shit that they said they were going to do when they were campaigning. And then we got to gut the public school system and make sure, like, but so many more people are involved in the schools now after all this crazy ass, like, genital mutilation, puberty blocker, insanity. Insanity!
I know, man. It's just, you know, I'm just going to be straight up with you. I got a guy in my neighborhood who owns a small establishment. We'll call it a bookstore, just in case.
Okay.
And my daughter and I would always go there, and he has long hair, and he was cool. He was like a hipster, you know, like a cool dude.
Right.
Particularly cool. So we go in one day a couple months ago, and he's behind the desk now. And I got in a small town, and he's got a sweater on and nails and makeup. And it's almost like Invasion of the Body Snatchers when you just pass your friend on the sidewalk and they're doing that shuffle, and you're like, oh, they got you too. And the reason I bring it up is because I come out and my daughter's 10 now, and she's like, you see he had breasts too. And I go, oh, I didn't see that. He was sitting down. And I'm like, fucking weird shit. And like, I feel like I'm raising my daughter right by saying, I didn't say fuck, but the weird, letting her know that that's not normal. That's
right.
You know, I'm raising her the way I want her to think. I mean, I know you're not supposed to judge. Fuck that. We all judge. We tell our kids not to judge, but that's all we do is judge. So anyway, it's like I'm never gonna be accepted of that, man. And then even when I leave, I go, all right, man, I'll see you later. He's gonna order a book for me. The guy was, and my daughter's like, you call the man, and I'm like, because he is one.
Yes. That's hilarious. And here's the other thing with the whole I had a similar thing happen when my kids were young at Bed Bath and Beyond. Here's the deal. It's like, and I'm working on a bit, circling the bit here. You could probably help me because you're talented. But it's like, It's like you still have to try to fool me, right? So you're gonna live your life as a woman, right? You gotta shave, bro. You're gonna need to get some work done. Your wig game has to come way the fuck up. Like, because I've seen some shit before where it's like, it's a beautiful woman, and the camera pans down and like, whoa, that's a trick. She tricked me. That's how it's supposed to be.
Right. I mean, even when you're a kid and you play like animal and you go, I'm a dog, you bark. you can't just say you're a girl without doing any of the stuff.
And then here's what I think it is. It's like a catch-all for like, I'm sorry that your life isn't interesting. I'm sorry that you're not interesting. Maybe before you chop your dick off, you try to learn how to play guitar, right?
I know. Did you exhaust all other options before you came to the conclusion that, nah, it's the dick. It's definitely
right?
The dick.
Did you even consider a cooking class?
Well, you know, we can do these jokes, too, because a study just came out that said, like, the large majority of it is just temporary, you know, and these kids change their mind and stuff.
Yes.
So, Mike, the fact that the other day I saw, and this is public knowledge now, so I'll say it, Ben Affleck and his ex-wife have a daughter who's now a boy named Finn. And,
right.
And I just thought, like, you know, whoa, there's a lot of Hollywood kids doing this. So is it just a coincidence that they're all coming from one particular neighborhood? Or could this be a fad? Like, you know, the Stanley fucking cooler. I mean, you know, whatever it is, the Stanley.
Those cups.
Yeah, everybody wants the Stanley and no dick.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm laughing at my own joke. That's tacky.
No, it's not. It's, you know what it is? You've delighted yourself. You surprised yourself.
I delighted myself. I love it.
It happens to me all the time, dude. I'll be doing the show and, you know, playing guitar and stuff and like making up goofy songs. And I've made myself laugh so hard, I've cried.
Well, you know, I was not to change the subject, but I'm going to forget if I don't say this. I was doing the podcast with Sebastian, and we had on this guy who opens for him a lot, Pat McGann, very funny guy. Sorry, I don't know.
Okay.
Gallon. Anyway, so we're going to do some show together, and we're all doing a live thing, and Sebastian, what do you do for a living, Pat? And turns out Pat used to be a history teacher. And I said, wow, interesting. Do you know there was a black guy on the boat when Washington crossed the Delaware? And he was like, what? And I told him about you. I go, my friend and freaking hilarious comedian, Michael Loftus, knows history like no one's business. And I'm like, yeah, if you look real close, he's in the painting. You can barely see him. And I turn to Sebastian. I'm like, I don't think this guy ever taught fucking history. I gotta be honest with you. But yeah, man. And then you turned me on to the freaking book that I just absolutely loved. The Lonesome Dove was the best book I ever read in my life, man. In my life.
I'm telling you what. And just for all the listeners, if you look at, and this is what a cool country that we have, and this is what Pete's talking about. It's Washington crossing the Delaware, and it's that famous painting where he's standing up in the boat. If you look closely, and you really have to look, because they tried to hide this guy, he was like Washington's like closest bud ever. If George Washington is Frodo, this black dude is Sam. Right. He was like his closest. So they couldn't leave this guy out of the painting. So he's included there. And it's just a fun to know little fact. And so but Lonesome Dove, I'm so glad you read that and that you dug it. That's one of those ones. Lonesome Dove. Highly recommend that to everybody.
Oh, and God, then, so good.
It is And it's weird. It's like when somebody tells you, like, hey, you should read this book, and then you see the cover, you're like, I'm not going to read a Western. Like, it's just like.
No, you know, it's interesting. That's a good bit you're bringing up, because I judge whether or not I should read a book based on how interesting I find the person telling me to read the book. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I like you have passed the litmus test of so many times telling me stories of things you've heard or stories you know or that are fascinating. That, like, if you're telling me to read it, this must be good. But then there's, like, you know, we've worked with people in the writer's room, like, did you ever read blah, 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 blah? You should. I'm like, oh my God, now that you said that, I almost read it. No, I'm definitely not. Because knowing you like it, I know I won't. So, yeah. That book was just absolutely, it's like, goddamn, so few books have that power where you can't wait to sit down again. I had to make sure my espresso was there. I would read a page, look up, and run my fingers through my hair as I mumble, what the fuck? and then I dive back down and read again. It was so great, man. Every page, loved it.
I had a buddy turn me on to that book. I looked at the cover and I'm like, dude, I'm like, the Western is just not mine. He's like, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. So on his recommendation, my buddy Jason, I read it. And I was in when they first start talking about, like, the town of Lonesome Dove and how, like, you know, it's not highly populated. And this guy died last year because he didn't check his boot and he got bit by a bug and it got infected. And it finally, and I was like, oh,
yeah. I mean, early on in their journey, when they stepped on a snake nest in a creek. Oh, God, what the, I didn't even know that was a real thing.
Yeah. The thing that really stood out to me as well is, like, there was no law. Like, bad people just did whatever bad shit they wanted to do. It's terrifying.
Wait, I thought we weren't talking politics. Now we're talking about New York City. Could be a soundbite for today, you know?
Right?
Yeah. No, it really was terrifying. It really was. Like, the idea of these women especially always amazed me during the Civil War, when their husbands would go off to war and they're in these cabins out in the middle of the woods and somebody's approaching and you don't know if that person, you know, if they want to have dinner or bang you or what they're going to, you have no idea what's going to happen. You have no, it's crazy.
And then if you do get attacked and raped, even if you survive, you're persona non grata. Cause you're damaged. It's a great book. It's a great book. We're bringing up, like, some very specific parts, but it's like, it's really about two guys and friendships and one last thing and a point in time that'll never come around again. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Pete Corriale. We're gonna take a little break. We're gonna come back. We gotta catch up on some more show business and some more stand-up stuff and all things good. So stick around, everybody. We'll be right back. More with Pete.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
with more of Pete Coriale. We're just took a little break, had a little, you know, you got to get refreshed and rejuvenated. And then, and just as fate would have it, things were getting interesting. So I'm like, Pete, shut up. Let's do this on the show. So you're talking about, you're doing some ads for your cast, which is the Pete and Sebastian show, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And I'm saying it's funny when you get these, they give you emails of the ad read they want you to do. And they go give an ad lib of how that product has helped you. And it's like sometimes it's a product that anyone who's a fan of you knows you wouldn't do, right? Like,
right.
I'm saying, they're like, tell us how probiotics have helped your gut. I'm like, my listeners would be like, hey, you smoke weed during the cast. No one thinks you're taking a fucking gut pill. You know, even when we were writing on the TV show, for example, with Kevin James,
yes.
I felt like you'd get so much more out of, like, if Kevin was hungover, for example, in the show. He opens the fridge and just guzzled ice cold Pepsi and goes, oh, the only thing that kills the hangover, whatever, right? Like,
yes.
then cut into a commercial, you know, with like an interracial family doing a Pepsi commercial. That's like, you know, but I don't know why it hasn't gone that way more with advertising.
I think it's coming back. I think it's gonna, and it's weird. It's like, I look at, like, you know, coming from television and blah, 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 blah. I think that's the only way to really make it work is like product placement. Like back in the day, people don't know about this. A lot of people don't because it's been edited out. But like in the old Andy Griffith show, they do a scene where Andy and Barney, they're talking, you know, Opie got bullied at school today. Let's go talk about it over a lucky strike on the front porch. And they would just go on the front porch and man, that's a good cigarette, Andy. That's smooth.
Fucking love it, bro. That's making me enjoy the commercial. Like, oh, Lucky Strike. You see that? That was a Lucky Strike commercial. Like, it's like find the commercial. I love it.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's got to come back to that. But, you know, just they would do it back in the day so they could edit it out if they had to, like, stand alone. But, like, seriously, if I'm, and I always thought, like, I enjoy Doritos. I love Doritos. That's a quality chip, okay?
Wow.
So I would have no problem during the Mike Loftus show, like, okay, so Mike, you go over to the fridge, you know, and you grab a Sprite, and then I'm like, oh, how about I go to the cupboard and open up a thing of Doritos, and then they give me a check for $500,000. How about that?
I know, right? I've been drinking a Blue Moon on stage for years now.
Yeah.
And my manager was like, oh, we should reach out to Blue Moon and see if they want to, you know, sponsor something. And I'm like, wouldn't Blue Moon just be like, we don't even have to. You're already doing it. You know, like, our product is so good, we don't need your help.
But now it's like that. But that's like a philosophical thing there, right? It's like in a documentary, they say you'll never have a real documentary. Because once people are aware of the camera, it changes the reality. People
That's
start
true.
Performing. So just by your manager going, we should reach out to Blue Moon. Now it's a thing. Now it's a thing. And now if they say no, now you're like, fuck Blue Moon. I'm not going to drink that shit because they don't think I'm worth it.
I know. You know, that's the Pete and Sebastian podcast, we started having guests, and that's been the kiss of death because there's some people I'm fans of, and they decided not to come on our cast, and now I wish
really?
Them all a fucking slow death.
Tell me who.
Oh, come on, I can't. Are you kidding me? But, you know, I mean, not on air, I won't, but a couple of them, like a movie came on the other day, and I said to Jackie, we can't watch this. He wouldn't come on the cast. Shut it down.
Yeah.
So
it's weird.
Yeah,
now,
you know,
does Jackie get it? Does she understand that, like,
oh,
that
yeah,
personal
yeah.
shit?
She laughs. You know, speaking of advertising, though, before I forgot, I have friends now that they tell me that, like my buddy was telling me the other day, he was watching a movie with George Clooney, and he liked the sweater. He paused the movie, asked Google what sweater Clooney was wearing in the scene. Google knew what he was talking about, takes him right to the website, and he goes, within 5 minutes, I ordered the sweater. And I go back to the movie.
Dude, so check this out. a million years ago, I'm writing on this show called Anger Management with Charlie Sheen. So I would go out front where we shot in this little rinky dink studio, you know, but they had enough space for us, whatever. It was in Sun Valley. So I'd go out, you know, to have a smoke, you know, you take a break from writing, and, you know, I'd talk to the security guard. And this one security guard wasn't an actor, which is the weirdest thing to do. Like, okay, so you're a security guard, but you're not in the entertainment business. He goes, no, me and my roommate were software designers. And he goes, we got this killer idea. And I'm like, what is it? He's like, well, you can't tell anybody about it. It's all trade secret stuff. But they were working on this technology where you could embed codes into movies and TV shows for that very thing. You're like, oh, you're watching the new James Bond movie. And you're like, holy shit, Daniel Craig, that's a cool jacket. You could pause it, take a picture of it, and it would link you to – and this guy, this has got to be freaking –
wow.
2014, and they were taking meetings and all this stuff. And then one day he came, he looked like super dejected. And I'm like, what's wrong? And he goes, we keep having these great meetings and we almost get to the finish line. And then something happens. And he was like terrified that somebody was going to steal this tech from him. And it sounds like they did.
Oh, man, either that or your friend is in Monte Carlo right now living a good life.
I hope so. Because I just thought that was the million-dollar idea. That's such a – and you're saying your buddy did it.
No. I'm saying he did it in that he bought – I have a couple friends since that said they've done it. He's purchased some. He didn't invent it. Yeah.
Right. But, yeah, he's used some technology where you can pause it. That's great, dude. I hope it's that security guard. I really do.
Oh, jeez. That would be something else.
Yeah.
Because it's changing now, man. His commercials are dying, bro. It's just not working anymore. You watch a commercial now and you're like, what am I doing?
You feel like an idiot. You feel exactly. Like an absolute moron. I hadn't watched like regular television. And what was it? My kids wanted to watch something, but it was only available like on Tubi, you know? And it's one of those streaming services that still has commercials. And you feel dirty. You feel like you need a shower. I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, my friend who's in that business, I go, there's so many of them in a row. And he goes, bro, honestly, it's because we feel that if you're watching commercials, you're just like, you have no choice. Whatever you're watching on, you have no choice. So we may as well just load them up because we got nowhere else to watch them.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll evolve into a thing. Do you remember that Tom Cruise movie that took place in the future? It's just going to be that. It'll be you'll be walking through the airport or walking in a public space, and it'll be facial recognition, or it'll scan your eyeball or something, and you'll just get an ad that's just for you. It'll go, there's Pete, and he's walking through LaGuardia. And you'll just hear a voice going, hey, Pete, I noticed you haven't bought any Blue Moon recently. It's available near you for a low price. It'll just happen.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that, Mike, because the way that things are targeted specifically for you, I am so behind the loop that it took me till about a year ago, because whenever I go to Twitter and I go like hit search, everything kind of trending would be, you know, outrage about the president or transgender or you know, things that I was on board with. And it took until about a year ago where I realized, because then I hit, there's something else up there where you can hit like what's now, click here to see what's trending with the country. And I was like, yes, country. I thought the other thing was a country. And then you look, and I'm like, oh, it don't line up with mine. So mine just giving me what I want to hit. That's what I love about the news today. You know, it's like you could just take the example of when Pelosi's husband got, you know, stabbed or whatever happened to him in his house. The Trudeau
hammer attack.
That's right. Right. You turn on one channel and it's like, we think it was just an intruder looking for Pelosi. And you're like, all right, that's whatever. That's crazy. But turn on another one. Oh, we think it's a guy who may have known the family. He's politically active. Whatever. They turn it on. It's Fox. It's like gay lover. And you're like, oh, yeah, this fits like a glove. Yeah, it's like you can pick the news, bro. You can literally pick the news.
Yeah, and that is what is flabbergasting about it, and that we are like living in much different realities, because like an event will happen, and if you start digging down deep in it, it's like, you know, like this this ship that crashed into the bridge, you know, in Baltimore. And they're like, oh, you know, MSNBC, oh, a ship, a container ship hit a bridge. The bridge has been demolished. And this is going to really affect the food supply and all this stuff. And then you go over to Fox and it's like, how did the ship lose power? Where were the pilot boats? The black box doesn't have any information on it. This is going to drastically, and like, there's been so many attacks on like food processing plants and all this other stuff, and it just looks insanely hinky. And like, while everyone else is walking around going, oh, I hope that guy's okay who was steering that boat, everyone else on my side of the aisle is like, what the fuck? How does that boat do that? Look at it. He had to change course to hit that bridge. Something is wrong.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I know, you bring up a good point, bro. And it's like, but it's just like all of it. When half the country doesn't care, I can't keep caring. It's just like the fact that there's all these people that are, I mean, not counting the migrants that come over for a better life, all the ones that we don't know about, and right. Like nobody's even like you can't even ask the president. He won't even go in front of a microphone and have someone ask him, are you worried about that? What's your take on that? Why are you allowing this? He just, it's like, and nobody, I can't believe half the country doesn't care that he doesn't have to answer this stuff. It's crazy to me.
It is completely insane. And that is what, in my opinion, it has to bleed over. Cause, and I've said this before on the show, I think that the vast majority of Americans, and I'm talking about like 98% of them, are really good people. They're just busy. You've got a life, you know?
Yeah.
So you're out there, you're working your ass off, you're trying to save two nickels, you want to get your kid a new bike for his birthday, and then you're going to go to the movies and blah, 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 blah. And you try to keep your eye on the news. You come home and you watch, you know, NBC, and then you pick up the paper and you read a little bit, but you got shit to do. So you can't get mad at those people. They just don't, they honestly don't know. They think that everything's going okay and it's just a really challenging world. And hey, like why, and they think that people like me, why do you hate trans people? Oh, I don't hate trans people at all, but I do hate people that try to confuse little kids. And once you start chopping body parts off of little kids, we got a big issue, man. We got a big issue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my daughter swims and she comes in second because Frank came in first. I'm going to yell from the stands, you really won, baby. You really won, baby.
Right?
But I don't know. I'm not mad at those people. You're bringing up a good point that I never really thought about, man, because my wife is exactly one of those people you're talking about. I'm jealous of those people that they don't let their life and their fun be stolen away from following this bullshit on the level that I follow it. But I feel like if I don't follow it and keep the eye on the fact that Biden's the biggest scumbag I've ever not known in my life, personally, it's going to slip away. It's going to be okay. If I stop watching it, he's going to get away with it. Even though I don't know anybody, I don't know any FBI agents or anyone. But if I stop keeping an eye on it, he gets away with it.
It's wild. It's like you have to, and this is like what I, two weeks ago on this show, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, these people suck. Like the vast majority of politicians, like I don't, they're
both
like,
sides. Yep.
Right? These are just not good people. They sucked in high school. They sucked in college. And like DC is Hollywood for ugly people. It's like, we got to get, here's what I want to do, Pete. We got to get the cool guys in there just to sweep in, fix it, and then dip back out and get back to making movies.
Well, it just seems to me you have to be a certain kind of individual to get elected. You got to have a certain thing about you that I don't have. It's a separate thing than the skill to actually run anything. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
It's like they're two different skills. These people are amazingly skilled at the politics. They lie. Like you said, both sides will literally be in a blue shirt or blue dress and say they're wearing a red dress. And you're like, wow, holy shit. To the point where you're like, all right, maybe it's a little red. Maybe it's a little red. Shit. Okay, bro, Fetterman, I thought the guy was going to die about 6 months ago. And now I can't wait to hear what he has to say. It's like he got hit by lightning and came to his senses. It's unbelievable.
Well, I think, I don't know what happened, if it was the stroke or what, but he all of a sudden, he's like the most, like, common sense Democrat that's walking the face of the earth.
That's like, what I'm saying.
Squatters don't have any rights. They're stealing your house. Throw them in jail. You're like, wait, is this Mongo? Is this the sweatshirt guy from Pennsylvania?
I know. And then you got... Yeah, I don't know. It's just...
Who do you got?
Well, it's just funny when you look at AOC, okay? She's like, you know when someone, an actress or an actor on a TV show, from season one to season two, they come back and they just look fantastic because now they know the show's a hit, so they really did, you know, just tighten everything up and they got paid a bit. So, you know, that's her. I mean, she just, even like when I listen to her yelling and screaming, I know it's the last thing she wants to hear, but the first thing that comes to mind is I'm like, hey, she really is a good-looking woman. You know, like, I keep laughing at myself. And she's like, stop saying that, you know?
But, yeah.
And then I heard a story. I don't know how true this is, but some politician was saying, I can't remember who it was, but he's a Democrat. And Ted Cruz and him were in some thing, and they're all screaming at each other, you know, some whatever it was, a hearing or whatever. And then later on, he's at lunch, and he goes, and Ted Cruz literally came up to me and said, oh, good job out there. That was so great when you went blah, blah, blah. And then and the guy's like, and it's professional wrestling or something like that. He used the term. He goes, it just made me realize it's all just for show. And I was like, I almost felt like this guy was telling me something he wasn't supposed to tell me.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it through that lens ever since. And it sure does seem like that. I mean, they just yell the same nonsense at each other. And
yes. Everybody's getting their soundbite. Everybody's getting their hunk of video that they can turn into a commercial, that they can ask for more money so they can get reelected, and none of it, very, very, very little of it has to do with actually getting stuff done. And like, it's yeah. Wild. And I'll say this before I let you go. I know we got stuff we got to do today, but like Rand Paul is the only guy that's pursuing this. Like with COVID, and like I know people who lost people. You, I think your dad with COVID, not to get too deep into it, but like the World Health Organization says like 8 million people globally. 8 million people globally. And that's been a couple of years ago. Where the fuck are the trials? Like, how are people not in jail? How is this not the front page news on every newspaper? How do we move on from that? I can't.
It's crazy, right? It's just to be like, we think it's this or we think it's that, and just that's it. That's just like the guys from Alcatraz. Some people think they drowned. Some people think they made it. We'll just never
right?
know. Oh, fuck.
It's the wildest thing to ever witness. And like a year ago, I was in I do Vegas once a year. And last June, I'm in Vegas, and the local news, you know, I come back to the room after the show, and the local news is showing an interview with a cop who's like, yeah, I pulled this guy over for a routine traffic stop, and my body cam, and I saw it with my eyes, like some kind of object came down and crash landed in some guy's backyard. And then you go to the backyard and there's these Latino guys going, there's aliens. There's aliens in the backyard. And these dudes are scared to death. And I'm like, okay, So what? Are we going to follow up on that? Like, nothing ever happened. And, like, they have the footage of the thing crashing in the backyard. They have the Latinos going, yeah, they were big. They were, like, 7 feet tall. They were walking around. We got our guns. We were scared as shit. Like, and, okay, so there's 8 million people dead from COVID. Nobody cares. And there's aliens walking around. And people are like, oh, yeah, whatever. What's on TV?
Are those Latino guys still around? Were they wiped out, too? You know? I mean, I don't know. You're talking about...
Yeah.
Mike, we're talking about something legit here in COVID, and all of a sudden you're turning into Men in Black.
But, like, it's a big deal. It's... If there's aliens walking around a mall in Miami, which I don't know if you heard about that one, but that's a big deal, man. Like, listen, I think... Go ahead.
Elon Musk said there's no aliens. That's it. It's over.
When did he say that?
He said it when they were going to reveal what they knew at Area 51 about a year ago. It was a whole big thing I remember came out. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm joking that Elon Musk is the end all. He did say there's no aliens. I don't know. There's got to be something out there, I feel.
I do, too. And I think there's people in the government who are withholding information from us, like with COVID too. They're like, well, shit, if we pin this on the Chinese, you know, because we were experimenting with this and this, and then it got out, whether it was an accident or on purpose, whatever, like it's going to be an international incident. People won't be able to handle it. And I think it's the same thing with aliens. They're like, yeah, people won't be able to handle it. So just be quiet, little kids. You go do your thing in the corner, and we'll let you know when dinner's ready. And that's what drives me crazy. It's like we have the right to know all of this shit. Like, who killed JFK? I want to know all of it, Pete.
Hey, man, just tell me if there's a Loch Ness Monster, and I'll be happy.
I honestly think there is. All right.
Good hanging with you, man.
Good hanging with you. Everybody, check out the Pete and Sebastian podcast. It's available everywhere. You're going to see ads for it. And just know, when you see Pete in those ads, he means every single word that's coming out of his mouth.
That's it. Nothing but the truth, baby.
All right.
There you have it. Good times with Pete Coriale. If you want to get caught up with all things Pete and his tour dates and his podcast and all that stuff, go to PeteCoriale.com. And we're spelling Coriale, Coriale. I know people would get it wrong all the time. So I wanted to double check and make sure we got it right. So check out Pete. Check out the Pete and Sebastian podcast. They are crushing it. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to thank you guys all for stopping by. I hope you had a good time. And now we're going to go over to Locals and Patreon. We're going to rail on this foreign aid bill. We're going to break that down for you. What's going on with the House? What the student loans garbage? I'm going to get upset. I'm going to get a little mad. But fortunately, I have my emotional support guitar here. So yeah, there might be an Uncle Bosey song. We made fun. When you say that your uncle was eaten by cannibals in World War II, that's all I'm going to talk about for a while. For a while. So come on over to Locals or Patreon, sign up, join in, and let's have more podcast fun over there. Have a good one. Ooh, one last question. Why are those pants still on?